The Northwoods Wildlife Center in Minocqua recently posted on Facebook about a bald eagle they treated after finding it lying face down on the ground.
Testing revealed a high toxic level of lead in its system. The eagle later died.
The center said exposure to lead from ammunition was likely a factor. Eagles are scavengers, and they've been exposed to lead ammunition in deer carcasses.
The question of lead in firearm rounds and fishing tackle has been around for a while. Patrick Durkin is president of the Wisconsin Outdoor Communicators Association and outdoor writer and editor for several nationwide websites and magazines. Pat, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, we see this case of a particular bald eagle. Is this a common issue, wildlife being exposed to lead in the wild?
I guess you could say it's fairly common because, you know, you go back in the literature, the research, when we've been looking at these kind of cases since at least the 1990s, and it's probably happening before then too. But, you know, like when you have any, you know, it's one of those good news things where we have more bald eagles now, but unfortunately they do find gut piles left behind from gun hunting for deer season. And once in a while they find out particularly in the gut pile that's left behind, you know, bullet fragments that they take in while they're eating I hate to use gut pile over and over again,
sure.
But basically it's the lungs, the heart, the liver, those things primarily, but also, you know, anything else that's in that pile. And there are fragments in there, and once it gets into the system and gets broken down and into the blood system, it does usually makes them very sick or kills them.
Let's talk about the use of lead in ammunition. For people who aren't out hunting themselves, Pat, how common is the use of lead shot?
Well, in bullets, you know, for deer hunting, it's fairly common. I think it's like about 90% of bullets now used for deer hunting contain lead. And then there's different components. So there's, you know, like I use copper bullets. You know, that's it's a solid copper round that doesn't have any lead inside, so it tends to hold together pretty well. But there are also lead-based bullets that have a what's called a bonded core around them that they don't break apart as much as there's a less expensive lead-based round that typically is used for deer hunting, and that one's less expensive. And that's always what kind of comes down to in these discussions is sometimes, you know, people resist using the more expensive ammunition because it is more expensive.
And I've heard when people talk about banning lead ammunition, which we can talk about in a bit, one objection is at least some hunters think that the copper ammunition you talked about might not be as effective, might actually be less humane because it might just injure deer, for example, and not kill them.
I don't buy that. I've been shooting it for at least 20 years, not every year, but I've shot quite a few deer with copper ammo. And the stuff they're making now, especially in recent years, is getting really good. It has really good penetration. And one advantage of it is that you don't have to use quite as heavy of a bullet, so you don't have as much recoil when you shoot some of the modern copper. So I guess I disagree with that. I just don't think they'd have much real solid evidence to back that up.
I know, Pat, there's been talk in the past about trying to ban lead ammunition for hunting in Wisconsin. I think Minnesota had worked on that. There was very briefly a ban on federal lands and hunting at the end of the Obama administration, and that was turned around under the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the arguments of actual bans on lead in ammunition?
Well, the thing that I guess, you know, we've had a long time ban on waterfowl hunting with lead shot because, you know, lead shot falls in the bottom of the lakes and ponds, and there it gets picked up by everything from swans to loons to ducks and geese. And so that's been banned for, gosh, going on close to 40 years now. But where you have more lead out there is, you know, still being used fairly commonly for hunting, you know, like rabbits, pheasants, upland game. And then in deer hunting, like I said earlier, a lot of lead-based bullets from rifle rounds to shotgun rounds. But it's really a mix now, and it's not easy to always come up with the perfect solution for these things.
It occurs to me if lead bullets are breaking up on contact with an animal you're hunting and presumably eating, is there a worry for risks to human health from hunting with lead?
Yeah, they have had some There was a real interesting case about 13 years ago where a guy out in North Dakota claimed that he was finding lead fragments in like 60% of the packages he was testing. But then when Wisconsin looked into it and other states started looking into it, typically they found that there were lead fragments in about, 4% to 8% of some of the packages of ground venison they examined. But so there's always that slim possibility. But then you start weighing all the other factors in society, like, in Wisconsin, we're well aware of, the problem with the lead pipes in our water mains and those kind of issues. So it's, again, one of these things that's so nuanced to get into the whole thing and figure out what should we be attacking first and regulating first. That's why I guess I'm more inclined to keep talking about these things, let hunters know there are alternatives that are fairly affordable, and you don't have to worry about having, having these intentional cases where you have something get poisoned through not really aware of it.
Talking to Patrick Durkin, syndicated newspaper columnist, president of the Wisconsin Outdoor Communicators Association, looking at lead in hunting and fishing, how it can affect wildlife in Wisconsin. Pat, I was less familiar. I've heard about the debate over lead in ammunition for a long time. Also, lead involved in fishing. Where does that get into the picture?
Yeah, that's been an issue, I think, as long as we've had lead arguments, whether it's hunting or fishing. And with fishing, you have all sorts of different size weights. Split shots are real common, little weight for taking your bait down. And then I don't know how familiar people are with the fishing terminology, but lead-based jigs for fit for walleye fishing, for everything from crappies to walleye. So you have all sorts of different things made out of lead, but they're all alternatives. But again, that's one of these cost things where a lot of times stores will offer some of these non-toxic alternatives, but it's not always easy to find. And so you have that. And I know in my case recently, I've been kind of more of a fisherman where I don't use sinkers. I'm more of a troller and using strictly metals that aren't toxic. But again, there's a time for everything. And I guess my thought is we got to just let people know there are alternatives, and that when they go looking for them, the more people looking for them, the more they'll find them, more they'll stock them in stores.
Well, now I imagine if I'm fishing with lures and other gear made out of any kind of metal, I'm hoping to bring it back home with me. Is the concern that ones made out of lead end up for one reason or another getting left behind?
Yeah. Well, what happens, fishing lines break. Mm-hmm. You snag the bottom and your jig or your tackle at the bottom of the line fault, breaks off and lays in the bottom. And then things like loons can come along and take it up, or swans can take it up. There's all these different diving ducks sometimes go down and grab stuff. So that there is that potential for a loss that way when you have, birds, waterfowl out there picking up these things off the bottom.
Do you see over time, Pat, anecdotally, or I don't know if we have industry numbers, but do you see hunters being interested in and fishers being interested in finding alternatives to lead?
Yeah, for me, the thing I see that's interesting, you see more hunters talking about the copper bullets now. I mean, it wasn't always a controversial thing. I remember when I first shot copper back in the 90s, it was just kind of a cool new development in ammunition. And then as time went on, it became more of a discussion over the toxicity issues. But at first, it wasn't really that wasn't what we were talking about. But now, in recent years, as these bullets have gotten more popular and the cost isn't quite as high as it used to be, I do hear more people talking about now. And there's even some people even call them hippie bullets, because folks like me that think, well, they're a good thing for the environment, and hunters like to tease each other about it. So at least I figure, even if hunters talk about it sometimes disparagingly, I figure at least they're talking about it. At least they're thinking about the fact there are alternatives, and maybe they end up trying them and finding out that, like I've done, that they work really well. They're accurate, they're hard hitting, and they They're a very consistent round.
You've introduced me to the phrase hippie bullets, Pat. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
I want to take a few minutes now to switch gears. Hunting season, deer season, of course, just around the corner. You and I have talked about CWD, chronic wasting disease in deer, a lot over the last bunch of years. What are the latest parts of that story you're watching for in Wisconsin's deer herd?
Well, you know, this year we have, I guess my frustration, Rob, these days is I think we have cases now like up in Oneida County and over in Eau Claire County where I wish we were looking a little more closely and more aggressively to make sure we know the extent of the problem in those two areas. Because we've had this chronic area down in southwestern Wisconsin, no pun intended, where it's been getting worse and worse and worse, and especially in Dane County, Iowa County, Sauk County, and Richland County. But we also have some outliers up in Adams County, Oneida County, and Eau Claire. And we have still, as a state, do not really get out there and test these areas with a real systematic surveillance through sharp shooting or through hunters and making sure we really know the extent of the problem in those areas. You know, we just had in our case show up in Oneida County last week. So I guess that's the thing I've been kind of harping on this year is that, you know, we have this in our plan on how best to do this, but we really aren't doing it.
And you'd been critical in the past of the Walker administration and their approach to CWD. Do you see much different under Governor Evers?
Unfortunately, not really. I have to say that that's been, disappointment this first year of the Evers administration. There really hasn't been a big change that way. We've seen very little leadership as far as making us think that things will be different this year. And in fact, just about a month ago, the DNR backed off. And initially we had this idea where hunters in the Eau Claire County area, in six townships, going to have mandatory testing where every deer shot in those townships would have to have their deer tested. But then the Natural Resources Board came in and kind of overruled that and put it back to a voluntary basis. And I guess my point is that this is a case where a citizens committee came up with that recommendation. It was basically a hunter-based committee that made the recommendation. The DNR approved it, and then a month later, the Natural Resources Board pressured the DNR and made him back off.
We'll leave it there for now. Pat, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Patrick Durkin, president of the Wisconsin Outdoor Communicators Association. We talked to him today about lead exposure from game animals, how it can affect other wildlife and people, and we checked in with the latest on chronic wasting disease in Wisconsin's deer herds.